Welcome to the Nightbird Radio Podcast. I'm Timothy Saylor, and I'm going to be your host this evening as we sound out the subconscious, navigate the nocturnal, and explore the farthest reaches of our experience. Coming at you from the back of an 86 Dodge Ram van on the rolling foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in the great forest deep in the heart of the Kali Yuga. This is Radio for the Hauntological Turn. Nightbirds, I'm excited to announce the inaugural flight of the Nightbird Radio Patreon. I've been searching for ways to bring y'all into the flock, to get y'all more involved, to offer more opportunities for you to support, and to continue to grow in what I can contribute to you, my listeners. And I've landed on Patreon. So for just $3.33 a month, you'll get access to monthly Q&As, bonus panel discussions on member-selected topics, and membership in our private Discord server, where you can perch on the wires and sing with other Nightbirds, guests of the show, and yours truly. Visit patreon.com/nightbirdradio to join. That's patreon.com/nightbirdradio. Patrons will be mentioned on the show and listed in the show notes. I'm excited to invite you to join me on this new journey for the podcast, and I look forward to flying with you. Now, let's get to the conversation. And welcome back, Nightbirds. It's great to have you back, and it's great to be back. This week, I'm joined by returning guest, Lindsay Stark. Lindsay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great now that I'm here with you. It was a rough day full of delightful rage. So, got lots of stuff to talk about.
So as we're recording, it's like we're moving into the eclipse, right?
Yeah.
So, good times. So, we talked a lot about this in advance of doing it. And so every time that you've come on the show, you know, you've been on here two times before. And every time you come on, we end up talking about, like, fitness, working out, like the magic of fitness. The magic of fitness. That's a good... with like sparkles around it and stuff. And I think there's so much there that we just thought it would be a good idea to do a whole episode on it.
Hell yeah,
we're doing that. That's what we're doing here. So you have some exciting stuff going on in your life. Like do you want to talk a little bit about what you've got going on that was one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this?
Sure. So, As folks who listened to the previous episodes know, I'm a big strength training geek and have been for quite some time. And it's something that I really enjoy. I'm really passionate about. Sort of evangelize among my friends. Like I'm the friend that people come to when they want to, you know, ask for some sort of advice on working out. So. Enjoy doing that and started coaching some friends of mine kind of casually and finally decided to take the plunge. And so I am in a certification program to become a personal trainer. Don't really know what that's going to look like in terms of career. I'm using big air quotes here, but know that at least it's something I'm looking to round myself out there. And then what I'm really excited about is the potential for incorporating sort of personal training from a like traditional standpoint with magical and astrological concepts so that I can build training programs for people that work to their strengths from an astrological standpoint, sort of motivated by their own unique qualities, not just on a sort of material level, but also in a sort of greater spiritual spooky level. And then also work with folks to develop magical techniques that help to boost whatever their goals are, work toward their personal training, and really just make it a holistic kind of mind, body, spirit, soul thing. And it's brand new. I'm still in my training program. I'm still sort of figuring out what this is going to look like, but I'm thinking about it a lot and you and I have been working together on some of this stuff. So yeah, it's exciting to be here to talk about some of these topics and to really kind of open the conversation up. Especially, I would love to hear from, after folks listen to this episode, if they have thoughts, if they have questions, if there are things that they're interested in, to have them reach out. Whether it's via, social media or on your Discord or whatever, to figure out kind of what the future of this could look like. Because I'm really building something that, as far as I can tell, nobody's done before.
Yeah, I think it's such a great idea, and I have never seen anyone offer it. And full disclosure, like, you're training me, so like it's fun too, because we're getting to like kind of look at some of this stuff while actually like developing it, like.
You're sort of I'm treating it, I come from a software background, so I'm thinking of it as like we're doing alpha testing. So you and a handful of other people are going to be sort of my first round of alpha testers, where I'm training you for free in order to get a lot of information about what works and what doesn't in this kind of a framework. You were a perfect sort of first subject. One of the things I knew immediately I wanted to look at was someone's Mars placement. Where you have Mars is going to sort of speak to some of how you may respond to physical intensity, to being pushed, things along those lines. And as a Mars in Capricorn, you just really like structure, and that's real easy to work with.
I love a program. Just like tell me what to do and I'll do it. And like I don't even want to think about it. Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of fun stuff to think about here and we'll get into some of it, but when it comes to the actual nitty-gritty of the program, it's like I'm really into stuff where I have a really clear-cut ABC that I know leads to results. Like, it's one of the reasons why I think the 12-step stuff is so good for me, because it just really is a simple outline of an honest way of living, and there's other stuff too. You like other kind of spiritual disciplines that to me it's like, just give me like something that I have to do no matter what, no matter how I feel, no matter what my day has been like, and I'll do it. And that really is helpful to me.
And I mean, and strength training is so good for that anyway, because the iron never lies, right? You,
Yeah.
no matter what is going on in your life, you go in and a weight's still a weight, and the movement's still a movement, and there's just something so clear and honest and pure about it that
Yeah.
really cuts through the bullshit. So it's, yeah, I think it's very interesting to see, like, working with you to develop a program is going to be very different than if I'm working with someone who, is, say, got a Mars in, like, in Taurus. Like, that's going to be a totally different ball game. Or look, there's other factors too, not just where your Mars is. Do you have planets in Aries? Do you have planets in Scorpio? What rules your fifth house, for sort of more like aesthetic stuff? What rules your sixth house for more sort of health focused stuff? There's a lot of different things that we can incorporate. And this is all very funny, especially since the last episode I was on, I was like, we looked at astrology too much. But I think this is one of those areas where all it does is just build out and augment. Like, the basic principles of good athletic program design are universal, but the ways in which, like, human motivation and individual response work, that's where there's some ability to kind of like, how can we tweak these tiny variables to make something really work individualized for a particular person? And that is what I'm totally geeked out on right now.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. And I just, at the risk of having like a stoner shower thought, right? It's like, dude, there is honestly nothing more magic than thinking of something like, okay, I have an ideal of what I would like to look like, right? And I have that thought. And then I have these very concrete actions I can take that make that a reality. And what I'm doing when I do that is I'm actually transforming the physical matter of my body. It is alchemy. into the ideal that exists here in my head. I'm pointing at my head or wherever the fuck I think that happens. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't happen there. Maybe it happens here or here, but wherever it happens, it starts as an ideal and it becomes a reality.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really a transmutation of the mental into the physical in a way that is amazing. And it's one of the things that I really enjoy about the pump as a phenomenon that happens, right? You have this, you know, when you get a really good workout in, particularly something that's like really hypertrophy focused, and you get all of that fluid going into your muscles and all of that swelling, you start to see what you're eventually going to look like. It is a vision forward into time, which is like, it's crazy. You don't get that from, I mean, again, I think there's all kinds of, you know, I think one of the things that I'm looking to do in my program is to sort of develop an understanding of things other than strength training, but strength training is always my first love. And the thing that is really amazing about it is the way that you start to see the future in the present, in a way that you don't necessarily, if you're running, you're not going to suddenly see yourself running a marathon. It's just a slog, slog, slog. And there's my bias against cardio there, but, it's an interesting phenomenon and something that is again, like really powerful and transformative.
Yeah. That's how, the way I had that, this topic written down on the notes is the pump is Gnostic anamnesis and higher self scrying. It's like, I get a vision of what I am to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is
really cool.
I mean, how often do you get that? And so clear, just like, there it is. That's what it's going to be. I think that's, yeah. I mean, obviously I think it's really cool, 'cause that's my, you know, it's my special interest, but like it is, a scrying of the higher self.
Well, and you know, like it makes me think about all the like statues of philosophers and like they're all jacked, right? Like,
yeah,
all the ancient sages were like just jacked and ripped.
Yeah, well, that's the whole mind body dualism. You know, you look at like Marcus Aurelius and such, like, there isn't this, the idea that you're supposed to be either smart or, you know, in shape is this weird, very fairly new thing. Kind of silly and wild.
Yeah. I think, mastery of all of the spheres is more in line with what we do here, right? Like, I want to be good. I'm not trying to leave any part of that. I think of it as a triangle a lot, but I don't even really think it's that. It's maybe like a multifaceted gem, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to sleep on any of the facets. Like, I want to polish that motherfucker good.
Yeah, yeah. We are all D20s.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to roll that natural 20. Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm just going to say, I want to go into that. So from that, I want to go into abs being a psyop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, like, now here's another thing. Like, I also have this thought sometimes of like, what if, you know, like all the philosophers were just like, dude, make me have abs, you know? Like, dude, when you make my statue, can you give me abs?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, they're like a little, like, sometimes it's like, it's too perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It is sort of interesting to think about. So abs are a psyop, you know, that's kind of our little running joke. And I swear I'm going to make t-shirts up that say abs are a psyop. Because yeah, I'm really opposed to like super leanness as a goal for like certainly most people like over the age of, I don't know, like 21, if you're not competing in a physique sport, like, idea that you're supposed to have washboard abs is insane, because that level of body fat for most people is like starts to be really hormonally depleting and weird. And so I have this sort of, my pet conspiracy theory is the, especially the sort of like super jack shredded, like Marvel movie physique is like it desexualizes people and turns us into like sexy but non-sexual beings,
Yeah, there's no
which is total
succulents.
psyop.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly.
there's a purity psyop to it. There's also like a well, like it creates a want that cannot be fulfilled. It's like, well, like sometimes it can't, like some people can do it, but some people just like I just probably won't have abs. You know what I mean? Like I'm just not gonna fucking do it. Like,
Yeah,
and
or you'll
even
have
if I
abs, just like
Bro, but
as
even if I
a
wanted to, like I wouldn't, like it's not worth the trade-off. You know what I mean? Like it's like, yeah, well, I have abs, but not like a fucking 8-pack.
Yeah, visible abs. Yeah.
Right. Like, no, they're just
We've
not
got to put
there,
on,
dude.
when we make up these t-shirts, we need a little asterisk that's at the bottom then, because like
Visible.
visible abs are a psyop. It doesn't sound as good as abs are a psyop, though.
Yeah, I think abs are a psyop just kind of captures it. Because it's also like, it's silly, right? So, yeah, so there's that. There's the idea, like, there's this sort of. And I think we talked about this one of the first times we had this conversation was like, there's that scene in Mad Men where like the artist, one of the like beatniks, you know, that he hangs out with is like, it's like one of his like girlfriend's friends or something, you know, is like, there's this great scene where he looks at Don Draper and he's like, you are the enemy. You create want. And it's like, there is this sort of samsara, like advertising just fucking perpetuates samsara because it like what it does is it first gives you a problem that you didn't have before. Like it has to like propose that you are incomplete. And like that's what, and obviously like all this body image stuff, like we know that it does that, but it's like, there's something really like not just, it's not just happening on a mental health plane. It's like there's a spiritual truth here, and like that's part of the psyop, right? It's like if I never think I'm complete because I don't have abs, then I am like just continually self-cursing, and it, I mean, I it sounds crazy, but it's like I think it makes you easier to control. I just.
Yeah. Well, think about how, if you've ever tried to like seriously work in a calorie deficit, like you just, the only thing you can focus on is that you're hungry.
Yeah, sucks.
And that's, sometimes that's like worth the trade-off, I guess. I've certainly been there if I'm trying to do a little cut, but like there is, there is something that happens to the soul during starvation that is
Yeah.
rough. And
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like being in a, mild calorie deficit is starvation, but certainly if you are trying to maintain a level of adipose tissue where you have like a visible six pack all the time, there's a lot, you have to spend a lot of time thinking about what you're eating and how much you're eating and getting all of that dialed in, and you can't necessarily like open up desire to bigger things. All of your desire is focused on just like, oh my God, I really would love just like an entire pizza
Yeah.
and some Ben and Jerry's, and like, relatable. And I think that's where it's interesting to me. A, I'm interested in fitness from a more sort of holistic standpoint around building strength and resilience in people, the ability to survive and thrive and feel good and help others versus, you know, ooh, I've got to have like the jacked beach body, which is like, whatever. We all want the beach body, right? Like, I'm not gonna judge anybody who says that's what they want. But also, you know, it's more important to be motivated by a desire for like being able to live your life well and be able to weather situations. And the fact is, if you're too lean, like, you can't weather a rough winter. Like, my Slavic ancestors would not have, there's a reason why I'm built like a barrel. It's to survive winter.
Yeah, same. It's like, I can withstand a siege. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's not just because I'm going to eat someone.
relatable. Venus and Scorpio, man. We both would eat people.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. We had that on the notes too. And that's an interesting, okay. So that is a cool kind of segue into like, so we have it written down, Venus and Scorpio, way to channel the energies, which I'm thinking is like, in terms of like working out as remediation, is that what we were thinking there? I'm not sure. Like,
Yeah. So I've been thinking about it because, you know, you and I are both Venus and Scorpio natives, so live that deep, hungry, psychotic life. And then also Venus is in Scorpio right now, which is just amping all of that up. And it's making me think a lot about that need for like, there's no nice way to say it, that deep-seated need for violence.
Yeah.
that is simultaneously like philosophical and meaningful and erotic and all of these things, that is like so inner and that can be very destructive in our lives, especially as both being in recovery, right? Like that energy toward like destruction and violence can be very rough to handle.
It needs to be expressed.
Yeah.
Like, it needs an outlet to be expressed, and it needs like, and you know, I always talk about this, but like, I'm a big fan of like, instead of like bad and good, it's more like skillful, unskillful. Flow versus blockage. Like, what is an expression of flow and what is an expression of blockage? And like, so like explosive anger is obviously is an expression of blockage, whereas like healthy aggression channeled into a productive task, like sports or working out, like we're talking about, that would be a skillful expression of the energy. And we had this conversation a while back, and it makes me think of it like when you're talking about it right now. And it gets difficult because we start talking about like human sacrifices and stuff, but like, I feel like the ancients, it seems to me, and I'm no expert, but it seems to me like often they had codified and ritualized systems for expressing these energies that perhaps, and you know, so like we were talking about, I think like Mesoamerican stuff and maybe a little bit of Norse stuff too, because I know they did it. And so it seems like it's funny, right? Because, well, it's not funny at all, but it's it's sardonically funny, because it's like we look at that stuff and we're like, oh my God, that's so barbaric. And then we like fucking just like obliterate whole cities of people into dust. And we're like, what is that? That's better? Like somehow? But so it's like,
yeah,
this reality seems to have some violence encoded in it. And it's like, how am I going to healthily express it? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something, it's something that I sit with very difficult, in a difficult way, because from a sort of political and philosophical standpoint, I'm pacifistic. Like, I don't think war is good. There are cases where like war is probably the least bad option, but but violence is a core part of humanity, and the thing that it becomes difficult when we deny it, right? Like we seek it out. You know, what is Like, if you watch a American football game, it's like that is, I mean, there's okay, my family would lecture me about how there's all this stuff involved, but to me it just looks like ritualized violence. And you know, with combat sports, all of that, like there is a desire for violence that is innate to humans, and there are ways to express that again that are skillful and non-skillful. And I think that it's again, it's one of the things that people will ask me, like, oh, Lindsay, where do you get the motivation to work out? And it's like, it's rage. It is having a lot of anger and a lot of trauma and needing a way to deal with it. And that's a way that I can deal with it that's skillful and that I can actually feel the anger that I'm experiencing leave my body and go out through, like in a heavy deadlift, like through my hands into the ground. And I, it's like if I have a bad day, that's how I'm going to deal with it.
Yeah, it's
Cool.
crazy because I'm going to like I don't think I'm blowing smoke up our asses when I say that like so based on the conversation we're having, it's like this is like a spiritual evolution. Like, oh, like we don't have to do either of those things anymore. Like we don't have to like sacrifice people, and we also don't have to like, you know, blow up whole cities. There are other ways. Like, and am I saying that the world would be more peaceful if everyone just pumped iron? Like, yeah, I think I am.
It would be interesting, especially because I mean, if everybody pumped iron and maybe didn't like do a whole bunch of PEDs, because PEDs kind of like ramp up that desire for violence in weird
Yeah,
ways.
then we just
So
get like sweet gladiatorials, like, and I, you know,
yeah.
I'm not gonna say I wouldn't watch it. I do like professional
Yeah.
wrestling,
I
but there's a
mean,
performative,
yeah.
like, I do like the performative elements too of that, which is like not something we have
Professional
in
wrestling
America.
is Greek tragedy. Like
Yeah.
it is the closest we have to a truly beautifully encapsulated Greek play
Yeah, and
that
like
we have
the,
access
especially like the
to.
old school Greek plays, like the I mean, people like think about it as very, as I mean, it is sophisticated, but you know what I mean? Like you think about like but maybe like the later stuff, right? And it's very like heady and there's a lot of like very dense information packed into it, but like a lot of the stuff they were doing was just like putting on big like ornamental dildos and like dancing around. Like it's like, but there's
Yeah.
also a bunch of like really like just rad shit.
Yeah. I think about there's something so beautiful about like imagining classical masks as like this is the face and this is the
Yeah.
heel.
Oh
And
yeah, totally.
sometimes you change masks, you know? It's and but you know who to root for. Like there's something again, it feels very elemental, which I think is powerful. But yeah. Anybody
Yeah,
who can't like fuck with wrestling. I don't get it. It's so good.
the heel turn is so cool. And you know what else is great is the face turn. Like just the turn is good. Like it's so there is something so magical to it because it's interesting, right? Like so I've been catching up on it because I hadn't watched it since I was like in middle school, right? And I was like, I want to fucking catch up on this. I want to know what's going on. Like I'm interested. And so I started like a couple months back and was just like watching it all. And it's like it's a lot. There's like a lot of wrestling that goes on. And one of the things I noticed was like, okay, the type of story doesn't really change. It's a very like formulaic thing, but watching different people do it, it's like a new experience every time. Like when you get to see someone that's been a heel for so long turn face, and it's like, especially when it's like kind of a beloved heel and they turn face, everyone's like, oh shit, it's happening. You know, like there's like such a energy to it. That I just think is wonderful. It's like a ritual.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's very, I mean, you think about sort of archetypal hero journey type stuff. That's what you're seeing being done. Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. How did we get onto that? We were talking about the world would be a more peaceful place if everyone fucking deadlifted. Dude, so like if there was like wrestling matches and deadlifting that just needs to increase. And maybe not so much steroids and cocaine like in the 80s.
Yeah. This don't generally controversial take that those don't generally lead to greater human thriving.
Even though maybe at the time it may feel like it. So
Gotta have that many year view.
yeah, the seven generation thinking. Oh, that's an interesting segue into okay, this is kind of like it seems like it shouldn't be related, but it's Nightbird Radio, so it is always related. Lindsay, are we still alcoholics in the afterlife?
This is my big question. Because I've been thinking a lot about our nature, right? And is that an affliction of my soul or my body? I mean, not that I believe my body and soul are different things, but is my alcoholism this lifetime? Or is that like, sorry, when I get to Valhalla, I need to ask for the NA mead. And I have to think that it's part of the burden of this lifetime, or like a memory from a previous one, that isn't like a baseline state. But I wonder, and this is something. Yeah, I'd like your opinion on, like, do you, like, what is it like being drunk in the afterlife? Like, do we get,
I think
is
it's like
it,
the same way it is like in a dream, which
yeah,
is to say not
like,
so noticeable, right? Like, okay, as someone that fucking drinks and does drugs in my dreams all the time, it's interesting because when I there isn't an actual like there's never an actual effect. It's just the action of it. And so here's my take. Here's my thinking on it. And I've gone into this with you a little bit because we had this conversation before. I believe that alcoholism is an allergy of one of the components of it is an allergy of the body. So I very much ascribe to like the AA, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, malady of the spirit. Well, two of those things have been removed for me completely. Through spiritual work, through and spiritual experiences, the intervention of spirit. And those two things are the obsession of the mind. I don't have an obsession to drink or use drugs anymore. That's gone. And the second one is the spiritual malady, which really is just like a selfish way of thinking. And that's been taken away too. And that's just really a change of perspective. Like, I just need a perspective shift. And so the one that remains is an allergy of the body. Now, if I believe that if I have a drink, like, it's my experience that if I have a drink of alcohol, I can't control the amount of alcohol I drink. And I also can't control pretty much anything else that I do. Like, I am Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, take it, boom, who knows? It could be nothing. It could be under a bridge for 4 weeks. You know what I mean? And so that is like, okay, so are the mind, the body, and the spirit different things? No. But in this experience, in this place, in this reality, do I experience them as different things? Fuck yeah, I do. I think I do. Like, so there's like a level on which that's all the same, and it's the same level on which like we're all one. Like I am you and you are me, and we're all sons and daughters of the monad, you know, or whatever you want to call it. Like, but in this game that we're playing right now, in this experience that I'm having, in this dance that I'm dancing, I very much experience those things as separate. And so, like, are they separate? Essentially, no. But the fact that I experience them as separate is, I think, important. Does that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, so I do still, as long as I have this body, I have an alcoholic body. But I don't think that my soul is an alcoholic. Like the same, like I don't, you know what I mean? Like, so what I'm saying is, like, when I go to Ragnarok, I'm fucking drinking mead.
Yeah.
But well, right, here's the thing. Will I want to? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the desire. Like, what is, yeah. I don't have a perception of what it's like to drink and not out of desperation.
Yes, because drinking was my medicine for not fitting in this life.
Yeah. Same.
I never felt complete. I never felt whole. I never felt at home. I always felt like a stranger in my body and a stranger in this world. And like, I just didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to me. But when I drank, I didn't care.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, cool. Annihilation. This is what I wanted the whole time.
Yes. Very, again, Venus and Scorpio.
Yeah. So I think, it's a question for me. Like, will I even want it? Like, what is it like to like just drink a little bit and feel like happy and good? The other thing that's interesting to me is thinking about, like, because the reason why alcohol has the effects it does is because it's a poison, right? So like, is it not poisonous? This is all very, these are things that are not addressed in the ancient texts.
I know, and, right? You know, they, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious about what, you know, what even would it be like? Is it a totally different experience? Sometimes, like, number one, what is the experience, like, how much is my experience on this plane like anyone else's experience? You know, I didn't realize until I was like 30 that most people didn't get the sniffles when they drank, and that apparently I am actually like allergic to alcohol, like with like a, you know, sort of respiratory allergy to it. So it's like, what else is different about how I experienced this thing? You know, obviously there's the extreme desperation.
So as someone with allergy, like, do you have a lot of allergies?
Not really.
I have a lot of allergies. And I'll tell you this, there's an interesting correlation here, because with a lot of my allergies, I am very interested in trying the thing and seeing if I'm still allergic to it, because I have a desire to be able to experience that thing like other people do, which was exactly my experience with alcohol. Like, I am obsessed with being able to drink like a normal person. Can I do it this time? Can I do it this time? No, I'm going to smoke meth if I do.
Like, yeah, right.
Every time.
Yeah, it's like somebody is going to get bitten or other things that I don't want to say on the podcast. So
yeah,
fair enough. We're going to, that's fair. I think that's really interesting. And I think ultimately, you know, cycling it back to this sort of resiliency, there's the piece where, like, I am so driven by a desire to be able to handle anything, to be ultimately adaptable and ultimately resilient. And that's, you know, that's what inspires my training. That's what inspires a lot of the decisions I make in life, the things that I'm interested in. Like, it's a very Sagittarian thing, I feel like, just being like, I gotta be able to do everything and adapt to everything and be ultimately flexible. And so the fact that, like, there's any food that I can't eat and I can't just have a drink, it's like, God damn it. In this one thing, I have to be rigid and I fucking hate it.
Yeah. It's honestly like, and I, this is something I say that probably, like, when people are like first new to their sobriety, they hear it and they're like, fuck you. It has been such an amazing teacher for me.
Yeah.
Like, having that, I don't know, it just has been a teacher. Like, having that limitation, having that place where I need to be rigid has, like, I've completely, it was the whole reason that like that I was reborn.
Yeah.
You know?
I sure do know, brother.
It's like, you know, like the Phoenix has got to burn up.
Yeah.
So we were having an interesting conversation before about, you had told me some cool stuff you heard about muscle cramps and like muscle knots.
Muscle knots.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. So this is super interesting. This was something that I've learned through my CPT training, because I have, I sort of knew that the cause of a, you know, we've all experienced like knots in our muscles, right? That's a common thing, especially up in your like, you know, upper trap and neck area. Like that's where I get them really bad. And the current hypothesis about what causes them is that you have this, it's actually a nervous system thing that happens where your central nervous system and the mechanoreceptors and the nociceptors, which are like the pain receptors in your tissue, start to create this kind of microspasm that happens. And then as a result of that microspasm, you start to develop these like adhesions within the myofascia. And so these adhesions start to kind of make everything less elastic within the myofascial tissue and make things kind of weaker and immobile and tense up. And so then the ability to stretch of all of the muscle fibers and the fascia in there gets affected. So things all kind of get stuck and actually start to change the soft tissue, but it actually starts within the nervous system, and it's not like a mechanical thing that initiates the process of having a knot. It is a nervous system thing that then causes the tissue to kind of tense up and do the knot thing.
So, and then what was crazy to me was when you were telling about how massage reverses that process.
Yeah, on a mechanical level, but also on a neurological level. So you have this, all of that stuff working together, and that it's not just the body. And it's, I mean, I guess theoretically, like a total scientific materialist might argue that the neurological system is all, you know, the body and the same thing, but it's not like it's a mechanical thing that's happening.
Yeah. And it's like, so it's changing neural pathways, right? Like it's opening up mm-hmm. neural pathways that were kind of like, I don't know how it works, if they're like actually blocked or if they're just not as lit up at the moment, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a neurologist, so I can't really speak to so much of what's happening other than like within the muscle tissue. But thinking about how it makes me think a lot about how much of what we experience may have in our bodies and our physical selves may have like a neurological component that we don't really understand. That there is actually it's like if you've ever experienced this sort of on the other side, if you ever experienced the symptoms of a panic attack without and actually having an anxiety trigger. This happened to me like about a month ago when I started like drinking way too much caffeine, and I started noticing I was having all the feelings of a panic attack without actually being anxious about any like tangible thing. And I was just triggering that in my body, and it's all so intertwined. So you think about how much our neurological state impacts everything else in a way that we're not always necessarily conscious of. Yeah, what else is like that? How can we, if we are kind of changing our perception and how our neurotransmitters are functioning, can we actually affect a change into things? I mean, it's why I, you know, there's pretty good evidence that positive thinking is like baseline good for lots of stuff health-wise, but like is this bigger than that? What is it? You know, how big does it go?
Because I think your thinking is bigger, like our thinking is bigger than that. Like, when we get into like the field stuff, like, like I don't think it's, I don't think it's arguable that there's an energy field around me that like also contains like my thoughts, like I just, to me, that's like, maybe that's, I don't know that that's like, like what normie canon or anything, but like, for me, that's like, duh, you know what I mean? And so the massage thing with the muscle cramps was cool because it was like, to me, like a really clear, interesting, very practical example of like my thoughts can affect my neurology. My neurology affects my nervous system, the rest of my body. And so like it is like it's placebo effect type stuff. But like the fact that that works says a lot about how things actually work. And the fact, so it comes back to the fitness stuff for me, because the fact that I can want something, I can desire something, I can envision myself as a healthier person, and then take actions that actually transform my body into a more healthy version of that body. Like, so like that's what we're doing when we work out. Like, okay, I want these muscles. Okay, well, you have to eat this, and then you work those muscles in a certain way, stress them in isolation, like for a certain amount of time, right? And then after a while, like they become bigger, they just look different. And so like to me, that's like, I don't even need to jump into like a bunch of weird woo-woo shit, because that's already magic. It's already magic.
It is. It is. You did forget the step of like getting enough sleep in there. I would like to
Oh yeah, you gotta
we this
sleep
is
too.
a pro sleep podcast. You got to sleep enough or else you're not going to get jacked.
Yeah, this is a very pro sleep podcast, because we fuck with dreams, So like, if you need to sleep 12 hours, bro, sleep 12 hours. That's cool. I'm cool with it. But yes, there's a lot of
It's
other things.
super.
There's a lot of other things involved too, right? Like,
Yeah, and it's interesting how much of that, like, that's, I mean, it's even pretty accepted, like, with mainstream, like, psychology and stuff now that, like, if you walk around smiling more, you will actually be happier because you have this feedback loop between, like, the muscles in your face and your brain, which is fucking
well,
insane.
and it's how intention works. It's how magic works. It's how all that stuff works. Like, I talk about this all the time. I don't know how much I talk about it on this podcast, but I work with like these ideals that I've been doing for a couple months now, and I'm like got a whole 9 month thing where I'm gonna do it for 9 months, like multiple times a day. I go back, and so what I have are these ideals that actually they came from fears. So it's like the top fears that were affecting my life, because I think what I see, at least personally for me, when I look at my fears, it's like those are actually things that drive me. So I am already being driven by ideas. And I am of the thought that I can change those ideas. And I also think that my fears always hide my desires, or they always are an accretion that forms around my desires. Because if I didn't actually desire the thing, I wouldn't be afraid of not having it. Like, I'm not afraid of not having things that I don't care about. Like, I'm not like, where I'll never have Funko Pops, like, because I don't fucking care about Funko Pops. Like, if I did, then I would obviously want Funko Pops. So that's a very like silly example, but like, okay, so if I'm afraid that I won't be accepted, it drives me to take actions that eventually like lead to that coming true. Like, I will act in ways that I won't accept people if I'm afraid of being unaccepted. Like, because I will be afraid to engage them, and I will shut myself off from them, and then I'm actually being the one that's not accepting them. I'm just making it real. So my ideals are built from fears. So it's like, if my fear is I won't be accepted, my ideal is I'm an accepted member of my community or whatever it is. It's just simple. And so instead of instead of spending the time in those fears, I spend the time every day returning to those ideals. And I think about it like setting my sails. I'm setting my sails. I'm resetting them. I'm resetting them. I'm resetting them. Sometimes I don't think to do it. Like sometimes it's not flowing on certain days. And some days it's like, I don't even have to think about it, but it's just a practice. And I can tell you that there are multiple parts of my life, like the things that those ideals are around, those areas of my life that they're in, have all had like immense movement. It's like a new, it's like new thought. It just, it is pretty much new thought, but new thought is just magic. So.
Yeah. 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 I really like a lot of that kind of intention setting. And this is the stuff that I've been thinking about for, you know, kind of incorporating into this new thing that I'm building, whatever it is. I don't even want to call it a business yet, that it's, you know, kind of developing a suite of, you know, magical techniques for these kinds of goals. And I'm sure, you know, there's people who, you know, might like put some sigils out there for fitness stuff or do certain things, but really actually develop like a nice robust network of tools for achieving those goals. So like, okay, let's put together a sigil shoal about what this looks like for you. And particularly, you know, can we make a sigil shoal that actually reflects like sort of tangible goals that are, you know, instead of like, oh, I'm like, I'm healthy and fit. Like, what does that look like? And create a collection of things to get someone there. I think that's a really good and interesting way of thinking about it and thinking about what does that look like holistically so that we're also knocking out, because being fit is not one thing and it's not the same thing to everyone. So creating that sort of long-term vision and building a suite of techniques to work toward that is something I'm really curious about. And I'm really looking forward to having the opportunity to work with other magically operant people who are interested in this to be able to like, let's just workshop some crazy shit together and figure out like what moves the needle.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And like, if we really like, my thing is like, dude, if I really think this stuff works, then there's some crazy stuff that's possible, right? Like, and it's just an area that we don't always think about applying it. Now, to me, most of my magic is based on self. I don't even like the word improvement. You know, personal transformation and like, you know, like I always talk about like channeling your higher self, like becoming possessed by your higher self. Like it's all ways to do that, to like, to be. And a lot of the time that looks like being more embodied, more incarnate, being as incarnate as I can be. I used to want to like, you know, scry the aether and like fucking go out there and like, you know, I want to forget like who I am. It's like, dude, I never fucking knew who I was. I'm not interested in that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. The body has.
Not that there's anything wrong with scrying the aether, but.
Yeah, no. But I think there's so many mysteries to the body that people sometimes just like zoom right past. And again, like just from a completely practical standpoint, like if you are like healthy and resilient and feeling good, it makes a lot of other things fall into place. It's easier to, for me, like it's so much, I'm so driven to be of service to others and to help people. So like being strong and resilient and capable so that I'm the friend that if somebody has to like move stuff for their elderly parent, you know, they know that they can call me up and I'll come along with my pickup truck and move all the furniture. Like that feels good. And that's what I work out for, you know, more than like, sure, I love having like big delts, but like what I really want is to be able to be the person who can be there in a time of need.
Yeah. And see, I just want to look good. So that's cool too. But, no, for sure. Well, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
You don't have that pathological Mars and Libra that I got, bro.
No, I definitely, I do see it. I'm kidding really. Like of course, that's a big part of it. But like, yeah, it's a matter of like, how can I contribute? How can I? And to me, like, again, it's like, how can I be an example of what's possible?
Yeah.
You know, and I think just that alone helps other people, because if they see it and they see that I'm not like suffering, you know, beating myself up into a shape that I think I'm supposed to be, and I'm not doing that, but I'm expressing who I want to be in a beautiful way, I think that's helpful to people. Like, I really do. Like, I think that energy is, we need more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And particularly, you know, as somebody, you know, I have a, like a degenerative autoimmune disease that like is going to at some point in my life, like impact my ability to move and do things. So for me, like A, what I do is partially to alleviate that, but also like, it's, and also it's rage and a big fuck you to ankylosing spondylitis. And then the third thing is also to be like, but look, here's an inspirational story of somebody who's not letting their, you know, the shitty hand they got in the genetic lottery, like get them down. And not saying that everybody who, you know, has a, some sort of a disability needs to go become a gym rat, but it is a way to kind of rewrite the narrative for yourself that can be pretty powerful.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to go into a little bit about, so there are not only ways to incorporate magic into like fitness programs and stuff, but there's also some wisdom from your fitness program that you can apply to your magic. And one of those that we kind of came across that was really interesting was this idea of a deload.
Yeah.
And I think we've all had the experience where like you're doing a bunch of magic and you're like, oh, this is great. I'm like really rocking and rolling. And then it's like, doo, and the energy drops and you just like don't do fucking anything for a while. So
yeah.
Tell me about the deload and how that
I'm going to tell you about the deload. Well, so first we're going to talk about deload. We're going to talk about progressive overload, right? Which is something used a lot in resistance training. The idea that there are different variables that you can manipulate, the amount of weight you're lifting. So like how heavy something is, how many reps you do, how many sets you do, how slowly you lift the weight. All of those things are variables that you can address to make stuff more difficult over time. The idea of progressive overload is that in order to progress in your training, you need to add additional stress over time to make things more and more difficult, to continue to see that progress. If you just bench press a 25-pound, you know, 225-pound dumbbells for, you know, 3 sets of 12 reps for the rest of your life, you're going to see some progress, and then eventually you're going to plateau, and you won't lose strength, but you're never going to get any stronger or any bigger. You need to actually figure out a way whether you use heavier weights, you do more reps, you start doing them really slow, you change up what you're doing. And so the problem with doing that kind of a progressive overload is like, you can't go more forever. Eventually you're going to totally like blow out your central nervous system. You're going to, or reach a point where like you can't physically add more. And so from, this is something used a lot in like power, like traditional sort of strength training for, you know, power lifters and stuff, is actually building in a deload. So you do, you know, you do a week of doing all your lifts at like 65% of your one rep max. And then the next week is at 75% of your one rep max, and you keep going up. And then eventually when you reach week 4 or 5 or 6, you actually cut back down to like 40 to 50% of your one rep max and do a lot less. And that gives your central nervous system the opportunity to recover, so that then you can go back and do another cycle at heavier weights, and it allows you to actually continue to progress without totally wearing yourself out, either injuring yourself or totally overtaxing your central nervous system to the point where like you can't really lift well anymore, or, you know, just getting burnt out. And so that is the magic of the deload. And I remember when I did my first program for you and programmed in a deload, you were a little bit like, well, what the hell is this?
I was like, this shit
sucks. Why are you making me lift these like light weights for this week? And I was like, I swear, dude, it's like the week you do it, you're sort of like, oh God, this is so boring. But then you go back and you notice like, oh, I can go back and hit stuff really hard again because you've given your opportunity, yourself the opportunity to rest. And it's funny, one of those things, you know, this is something I've had in my programming for years and years, and realized that I'd kind of been in like a magical deload experience where I had, I was doing all these different kinds of magic, and I basically just had some time where realized I had gotten burnt out on doing lots of different things and sort of throwing, like doing all these novenas and doing all this different stuff and trying to hit every single spirit that I had a relationship with. And so sort of had been in like a magical deload where I just scaled back to what are the basics? Okay, I'm going to do prayer. I'm going to do meditation. I'm going to do like the core elements of my spirit team. And then now I've kind of gone through that, and all of a sudden I am so much more sensitized to spirit experiences and spirit contact. Like all of a sudden everything's lit back up. I'm feeling so much more enthusiastic. Spirits that I've been trying to get like to kind of build a relationship with for years are all of a sudden answering my calls. Like it's very interesting. And so, and I mean, it makes sense. I think we all do it naturally, right? We like reach this point of sort of burnout of just being like, oh my God, I'm spending so much time doing magic. What am I getting out of it? Like, it's just like my entire life revolves around like timing and candles and incense and whatever. So like, I think particularly like the last thing you want is to reach a point where you all of a sudden lose that ability to be similar to in strength training, you lose that sensitization to the stimulus. You want to regain your sensitivity to the stimulus. So take some time, scale stuff back, don't do a bunch of work. And then all of a sudden you'll be lit the fuck up again. And it's really nice. And it's made me think about actually thinking about what are the times of year that I am doing a lot of magic, whether it's based on astrology or like, you know, this time of year, you know, we have Cyprianmas, and then there's all of the sort of spooky season stuff and getting into, you know, All Saints and All Souls, which are very busy for me. That time of year, like, okay, so this is not when I'm going to do, you know, a magical deload, but maybe sometime when there's like not a whole lot going on the in the space weather and stuff, I'll actually think about building in a deload and being like, hey, everybody, we're gonna keep it kind of chill, do some basic prayers, get everybody in, but like move it back and then keep myself sensitized to that spirit contact. And I think that's a really, it's been an interesting lesson for me, applying something from training to magic that I would not have thought of if I hadn't sort of stumbled upon it.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And like, it's great because, so what I would end up doing is when I went into those fallow periods of magic, I would be like, what did I do wrong? What am I doing wrong? Why is this happening? What is going on? Like, am I fucking up? Did I fucking do something? And I think that would happen too if you were just all the time going 110% with your workouts. You're going to like, your body is going to be like, sit the fuck down, motherfucker. And when you don't choose it, when it happens like that, it feels like, I mean, it's like, it feels like some kind of injury, right? Or like a fatigue. Whereas if I build it in, I know that's what's happening. I'm doing this. It's part of my program. Then it becomes, I don't have to worry about that shit. Like I'm not internalizing it. I'm not like wondering what I did wrong. I'm not like in a state of fatigue. I'm just like, this is what I do right now. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And, like, eclipse is probably a good time to do it too. You know, like there's all kinds of times. But I really like that. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So, talking about, do we skip this? I was just about to read it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Turning into copper giants.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was hoping I would have my copper bracelet since we talked about that the last
Oh,
time I was on the podcast, and I
yeah.
have one coming to turn me into a giant based on your cool recommendations. But it is sort of interesting. I've been thinking a lot about like weird sort of the glamour of everything because I have this weird phenomenon where everybody thinks I'm significantly taller than I am to the point where I like hang out with a group of girlfriends where we're all the same height, and they continually think I am 2 to 3 inches taller than the rest of them. So I'm wondering if that's going to be part of the copper magic, is just continuing to fool people into thinking that I'm taller and more jacked than I am, which sounds pretty dope.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds dope. I never thought about it as a glamour. I like that. Like, what if all the bones are just like normal height? And
Yeah.
that dude, that's what the Smithsonian's hiding, bro.
is copper glamour? Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because the faith, they can't hang with iron, but copper might be okay. So maybe it's good neighbors tech, which a
Oh,
little
interesting. I didn't
spooky.
think about that. I
Yeah.
just want
Yeah.
Dendropanoply, like I've been thinking about it a lot. Remember what they took from us, kind of thing,
Yeah.
full bronze armor that like has a weird collar. Okay.
Speaking of things that you wear,
Yes, I was gonna say, let's go talk about that.
yeah, talk about the Rahu amulet. So
Yeah.
this was this is brand new for me, like within the past week. But based off of your recommendation, decided to finally, after years of being a little trepidatious, getting in with Rahu, and it is wild to wear this to the gym because I was repping out like insane numbers of reps for things like way out of what I would have suspected in terms of reps in reserve for the movements I was doing and the weights I was doing, like doubling what I would normally expect to do. Which is a little scary. Like, is this a monkey's paw situation? Like, what's going to be at the other side of this? But I think I am interested in, and what that's like. I know you have some amulets that you work with. Like, have you noticed any sort of like a really tangible thing like that where it's like, oh, this is really different?
Yeah, I think it is. And so there's a couple different things. For one thing, I think Rahu is just hungry for gains.
Yeah. Same, bro. Same.
So he's down with that program. There are some other things that you should check out that I'll send you recommendations about. There's like a there's this like magic, oh man, I'm gonna forget his name, dude. I think it's LP Simply, Lungpu Simply. He has this magical powder that he makes into like pyramids and stuff and like covers in gold leaf, and it like I have a mala made of it, and it like it gives you like a lot of energy. It's weird. And then so like that Rahu amulet that you have has a mystical metal called Lechlai in it, and the one that's in that is a fire element Lechlai. And it's what it actually, like what they say it is that it contains there's a deva in it. There's like a fucking angel in it, right? Which is like so interesting to me to think about, like the fallen angels going into stones, like going into crystals, going into metals, going into these, I don't know even what it's like, some alloy that they get the met, like they go into, like this monk goes into a cave and like sings out this metal. And then like somehow cuts it, harvests it, and then like processes it in some way, and then like imbues it with prayers, and then it shows up at your door, from Thailand. Like, so what it does is it, I, so here's one of the things I'm thinking about. It gives you what is called Kongra Pan, which is like physical invulnerability. And so I'm wondering, like, what if it's helping the muscles to fucking, like, what if it's giving you like Wolverine regeneration? But then at the same time, like, what if it's, and this is like, I don't fucking know, dude. This is just fun to think about. What if it's keeping the muscles from tearing? So what if it actually is acting against your gains? I don't think that's happening.
Antigens. Okay, so what we need to do is create a controlled experiment here
Yeah.
where I need an am I need to like one amulet on my left arm and then nothing on my right arm and then do bicep curls and see which side gets
Oh.
more jacked.
Or see which one gets sore too. And so like
See which one gets sore, yeah.
I don't think that it's keeping you from gains. Like I'll say that because like I've it doesn't. Do I wear a lot of leg lock? I don't think I actually have any that I regularly wear. But I will say I think it probably it like it gives you just like increased endurance and increased like energy and power.
Yeah, I mean, more reps, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and then the Rahu aspect of it is like that, like a Rahu amulet, like remediates like negative astrological influences, but then also like keeps you from it, like protects you against black magic and like negative spirits. So it's interesting to think about what that might mean in terms of like, does it like make your creatine work better? You know? What if the Amrita is just creatine? What if that's what it is? They all lined up for
It's
the
all just creatine all the way down.
creatine. But I love that you had that experience. I think that's so cool. I just want to like the effects of amulets are not always immediately tangible for me. But like so I have certain friends that like they are very like it's very like noticeable to them. And so I love like hearing about their experiences because to me it's like a lot more of a slow burn. Like I have certain amulets that like I fucking chanted their kata for like a year before I saw any kind of movement.
That's interesting. I wonder, was that always the case with like even the, early ones?
No. Not
Like maybe you've
always.
developed a slight like I don't want to say resistance to amulet magic, but like you built up a
Energy.
tolerance. That tolerance is the word
Oh
I
yeah,
wanted.
amulet tolerance, that's possible, I think. Because at first, like one of the things about Thai amulets is that like when you get into Thai amulets, you will just buy like 15 Thai amulets. And then you're like, fuck, I don't
Apparently,
have
yeah.
these are supposed to get me money, and that's great because I don't have any money anymore. And
Yeah.
yeah.
That's funny.
That's like a lot of magical. It's just like there's just so much cool shit to buy. Like I gotta buy skulls.
Yeah.
They cost
Yeah.
money.
The magical accessorizing desire is very strong,
Yeah.
especially. Yeah, relatable.
So we will continue to monitor that Rahu progress. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I there's other like so I it's interesting because I actually okay, this might be a through line. I work out with Prangong, who also offers Kongripan like invulnerability. And I feel like I can really tell a difference when he comes along. And so, yeah, there's got to be something there to that.
If you forget your amulet at home, do you turn around and go to the gym? Or turn around and go home to before you go back to the
No,
gym?
but I do like lament it. I'm like, fuck, I didn't bring any spirit amulets.
Yeah. I got really close this morning when I realized I didn't bring the amulet with me because I was like, I want to really test this through like a squat day.
Oh,
Today
yeah.
was heavy squats. Because that's really where you feel like you're just grinding against the wall. So I will continue to report in. This will be part of my the important scientific work that we're doing at Antares Fitness.
Hell yeah. Well, you know what? Unbelievably, I think we've covered every topic that we have on our notes.
I think we have. This is really good.
Is there anything else that you wanted to mention? Any, like, where can they find you on Instagram? Put your Instagram out there.
Yeah, so I have recently started an Instagram for this endeavor under Antares Fitness, like the Bohemian Royal Star, which is my heliacal rising star. So if you find me under Antares Fitness, right now I don't have a ton of stuff going on, but I am curious about, like I said, talking to people who have thoughts and ideas in this arena, who have questions. I'm always happy to help out. And I'm looking to build out a cohort of, like I said, sort of alpha clients who are a diverse group of people, both in terms of, individual morphology and experience, but also in terms of, astrology and magical stuff, so that I can really get a nice, well-rounded group to test out some things with. So if this is something that you're interested in, feel free to hit me up, and I can put you on the list for folks that I'm going to do some initial sort of intake work with, and see if I can find some really good matches. And I'm really grateful, especially to you, Tim, for not only like continuing to have these conversations with me, but for being really the person who kind of kicked my ass into gear to make this thing a reality. I really couldn't have done it without your sort of good experimental mindset. So I'm really grateful for you kind of being the kick in the pants that I needed to get this new exciting endeavor on the road.
Well, it's just been exciting to be a part of it. I love it. It's great. So I'm excited to
Right
see where
back
it
at you.
goes. And if anyone is interested in hanging out with us on Discord and talking about this stuff anytime you want with us, because we're on there, go to patreon.com/nightbirdradio, become a patron for $3.33 a month, and you will get access to that Discord. You'll also get access to bonus episodes, to member selected roundtables about member selected topics, and also special monthly Q&As. So check that out. Go to, man, I had a brain fart. Patreon.com/nightbirdradio for more information.
Yes, highly recommended. I get in while it's new, and you can start to shape the community. I'm really psyched to be able to be a part of it, and to have our little training yard sub channel in there, so that we can specifically talk about these topics. But also happy to talk about things that are not working out. It's just for some reason is where it always goes with
Yeah,
us.
it's good stuff. I don't see anything that really combines these worlds ever, so like it's exciting territory.
Yeah, well, I think so. Part of it is that, a lot of us, like myself included, like I didn't work out growing up. Like I was a fucking weirdo nerd and was like, oh, that's, I don't know, that's dumb jock shit. And it wasn't until later that I realized that actually that dichotomy is stupid and contrary to my own thriving and the thriving of the greater field of humanity.
Yeah, hell yeah. I think that's a good point to leave it at. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a blast talking to you as it always is.
Always a pleasure, Tim.
Until next
Anytime.
time. Do you experience weird shit? Do your parents not like to tell their friends about what you do in the woods? Do you make more friends in a graveyard than you do at a party populated by living humans? Do you have interactions with beings that are not strictly considered human? Do other people look at you like you're crazy when you mention talking to trees in casual conversation? If you fist pumped or even just answered yes to any of these questions, you may be a nightbird. So let's sing together. If you'd like to come on the show and flap your gums with me, share your stories, or just talk about the malleable nature of reality for a while, then send me an email at tim@nightbirdpodcast.com. That's tim@nightbirdpodcast.com. I'd love to have you on the show. But until then, I gotta fly. But before I go, let me say this. Remember, you are never alone. I believe you.